Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Church, we're in the middle of a series that we've taken our way through the summer to enjoy. It's a series called Wise Up. It's really a journey through the book of Proverbs and how God actually gives us very practical and powerful truth line by line in the book of Proverbs. And so I myself have learned a lot. I've grown a lot. I've been inspired. I've been challenged. I feel like I've been equipped, and I feel like a brand new man ever since God started this series called Wise Up. How many of you need a little more wisdom this morning? God is good. Well, you're going to get it. We have two of our excellent communicators today. These are two of the prettiest communicators we have. Pastor Leslie and Pastor Tiffany are going to be bringing it today. You have no idea what you're in store for. So would you put your hands together? Welcome Pastor Leslie Peterson as she comes this morning.
Good morning, church family. Just like Pastor Dave said, I'm Leslie Peterson, and I am married to the very handsome man who led worship this morning, Pastor Chris Peterson, and we have two great kids, Harper and Levi, and just a fun fact about us is that we met here at LifeLink Church 12 years ago, and so LifeLink has been a big part of our story, a big part of our journey, and I say that to say that you're in a good spot. If you're here today, you're in a great church who has great pastors, this is a great church family, so if you're here, give yourselves a pat on the back because you did it. You're in a great spot. Okay, so this morning, we're continuing on in our tag team series called Wise Up. Last week, we heard from Pastor Josh and Pastor Abel about the life of a learner. And a learner, a wise person always continues to learn. A wise person continues to grow and continues to learn. So if you missed that last week, jump back on Facebook or wherever we have our sermons up and go back and catch that message because you wanna get to it. Okay, so today I'm tag teaming with Pastor Tiffany, so she's going to finish up this message. But here's let's kick it off with this scripture. Proverbs 4:7 says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. So getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. So if you've been here through this message, you've gained wisdom. And the Bible says that's the wisest thing you can do. So you're doing a good job. Can you give yourselves a round of applause just for being here? You're gaining wisdom. Each service you've been here about wisdom, you've gained wisdom. So we're just going to continue right with that. Today we're specifically talking about a principle that's found in many places in the Bible, but specifically in Proverbs, and that's the importance of honor. So would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you that you are here. I thank you, Lord, that you know what each of us needs and how we need to hear this message. So, Lord, I pray that you would piece it up and deliver it into our hearts and our minds in the way that we need to hear it so that we can receive it. So, God, they can go into our hearts and really change our lives relationally. We love you today. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so I thought maybe we could just laugh a little bit this morning, kick it off with some funny things. I hope you'll laugh at these. I ran across a few of these funny one-liners that churches try to communicate things through like a bulletin or a handout to their congregation. And I think that they tried to do it in an honorable way. However, I think they kind of missed the mark on these. So these will be up on the screen for you if we can pull up that first one. So it's okay if you think this is funny. Feel free to laugh. Okay, at the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early, listen to our choir practice. Okay. Number two, Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double door at the side entrance. Okay, number three, next Thursday there'll be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. Uh-oh. Number four, Miss Charlene Mason sang the song entitled, I Will Not Pass This Way Again, giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. Aw, oh, Miss Charlene. Okay, number five, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Okay. So somebody should have proofread these right before they sent them out to the church, right? I think that they tried to communicate in a good way, but it just didn't hit the mark. It wasn't really that honorable, right? Okay, so when you think of honor, that's what we're talking about today. When you think of honor, you may think of a general moral code that we all kind of live by. You know, you may think of chivalry. You open the door for the person coming in behind you and you honor them that way. You might think of Judge Judy because we refer to judges as your honor. And these are not wrong, but really not correct as to what honor truly is. So let me tell you what honor truly is. If you've got something to take notes on, your phone, something, capture this, that honor is value, worth, and weight. Honor is value, worth, and weight. So it means you see the value, the worth, and the weight that somebody, that God puts on that person. So the opposite of that, dishonor, means to take lightly, to treat as common or ordinary. Have you ever been treated as common or ordinary? That kind of hurts, huh? So honor is a value issue. And God determined our value when he made us. And he said he's not a respecter of persons, which means he doesn't value you more than he values me. He gives us the same amount of value. And he says that we're made in his image. So to say that a person is lesser in value by not honoring them is to say that God didn't know what he was doing when he created you and I. Does anybody in here know more than God? Anybody? Any hands? No hands, right? We don't know more than God, but we do this when we don't honor. Can I say too, that honor is different than respect. Honor sometimes can feel like respect, but it's not always honor. Here's an example. You can open up the door for someone in coming in behind you out of respect, but you can hate them in your heart. Or you can open up the door for them out of honor because you see their value and their worth that God's given them, right? So they're different. Honor and respect are not the same. And have you noticed that people are very bold in the dishonor that they dish out? All you have to do is get on social media, scroll through a few posts, and see how bold people are in their dishonor. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, maybe honor doesn't have much of a place in our lives sometimes. You know, but in Jesus' name, I think that we can bring this culture of honor back to our country. Amen? Do you believe that? We can bring this culture back to our country. We call it back in the name of Jesus. So for some of you today, maybe you are really leaned into this already because you're like, I understand this principle. I've lived out this principle. I understand the power in this principle. And then maybe some of you are like, why would I honor anybody? Nobody in my life deserves honor based on how they treat me. But I would encourage you, on either side you are on that, lean in. Lean in. God has a new perspective, something new he wants to speak to you today. And so this kind of takes us into our next point. If you'd write this down, that honoring begins with God's claim on them. Honoring begins with God's claim on them. So honor is based on how God sees the person, not on how we see the person. Here's the thing, is that God can see everything we've ever done. Everything we've ever done. Everything you've ever done. And he still can see who you can become. I think if you're a parent in here, I think this can really hit home, right? If you're a parent, you know we can see our kids for where they are, the things that they struggle with, but also we can usually see their potential. We can usually see where they can go. But if you're a parent, you also know that there's a temptation to rehearse the things that our kids aren't doing right. Right? Any parents, can you agree with that? Yeah. So sometimes if you get to the end of a long day with your kids and it's like, man, you are just fed up. And then all of a sudden you explode and you're like, why couldn't you do this? You argued with me. You didn't clean your room. Like, you just rehearsed the list with them. But I think what our kids need from us is to remind them and rehearse with them who they can be. Not the junk that they do, but who can they be? So we try to do this intentionally with our daughter Harper. Since she was a little girl, we've really felt convicted to do this. And we do something with her every night in our bedtime routine called her declarations. And when she was a kid, she couldn't say that, so we called them her decorations. So we do her declarations with her, and we remind her of this is who you can be. So how it goes is after we pray, we say, okay, Harper, repeat after me. She says, okay. And we say, I am brave. She says, I am brave. We say, I am strong. She says, I am strong. I am kind. I am generous. I am funny. I am smart. I am wise. I tell the truth. I'm a good friend. I have good friends. I'm not confused about who I am. And then we say, I love God. And she says, he loves me. And then we say, amen, Sister Lynn, because that's just the nickname we have for her. So we do these declarations to rehearse. This is who you can be. This is who you can be. So you know what? I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves, this is who we can be. So church, I'd love to do these decorations with you. Would you join me in doing these together, okay? So at the end, I'll say, I love God, and you say, He loves me. Ready? Let's practice that part. Ready? I love God. I love God. I love God. That's the most important part. He loves you. All right, so let's start from the top. Repeat after me. Say, I am brave. I am strong. I am kind. I am generous. I am funny. I am smart. I am wise. I tell the truth. I'm a good friend. I have good friends. I am not confused about who I am. Now, I love God. Amen, Sister Lynn. I mean LifeLink Church. Give yourselves a round of applause. We remind ourselves who we can be. What you do is not who you are. What does Pastor Tom say? He says your do is not your who. Your who is not your, no, your do is not your who. Pastor Tom always says that your do is not your who. So who you are, what you do is not who you are. And someday, we're going to stand before God totally perfect. We'll get to heaven, we'll stand before God totally perfect. And this is how God chooses to see us right now. Right in our mess, right in our sin, right in the junk of life, God sees us this way now. So here's a scripture that kind of hits this home. Romans 8, verse 30. It says, and those he predestined, which don't get stuck on this word. All that word means is that he's a plan for everybody. It doesn't mean that he's picked some and not picked others. It just means he's got a plan for everybody. So those he predestined, he's also called. Those he's called, he's also justified. Those he's justified, he's also glorified. So he already sees you that way. He already sees you called, justified, and glorified. Even though we're not standing before him yet, but that's how he sees us now. And if God sees us that way, then I think we need to see each other that way. If God sees us that way, then we can see each other that way. Around here at LifeLink, if you've been around a while, you've heard us talk about the TAL card. And all the TAL card is just a list of culture values that LifeLink has. And one of those specifically is see the person. And see the person is all about we take off our own glasses, the things that how we see people, like we see them through our filters, our pain, our own perspectives. We take that off and we put on our Jesus glasses and we say, I'm gonna see you the way Jesus sees you. I'm gonna see you the way Jesus sees you. And that's culture around here at LifeLink. If you come, we'll see you. We'll put on our Jesus glasses and we'll see you. And two, if you share things from your past or things you're struggling with, we're not gonna throw that back in your face and rehearse that with you. We're gonna jump in and pull you up and say, come on, here we go, right? And that's culture at LifeLink. This is a safe place where we'll choose to see the person. And that really embodies this idea of honoring people based on God's claim on them. So this is where honoring begins. But honestly, honoring is more for the person who's giving it than the person receiving it. So write this down. Honoring benefits me too. Hey, we should be excited about this. We love when things benefit us, don't we? I do. So honor has more of a benefit to me who gives it than to you who receives it. Okay, let's talk about this in Ephesians 6, 2 through 3. It says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. I think often we look at the scripture or we hear this scripture and we think of how it applies to children. And I think there might be some children in here, but we are not all children, yet at some point we all had a mother and a father. At some point we did. So this is a scripture. This scripture is the first commandment with a promise tied to it, which to me says that God takes it pretty seriously. It also tells us that how you honor determines how you will be honored, and that there is a reward to honor. And if that idea is intriguing to you, I can't dig much more into it here, but I'd love to throw out a book by John Bevere called Honor's Reward. If you want to kind of dive more into that, check that book out. It's really an amazing book. It changed my perspective on this. So Honor's Reward, there's a reward to honor. Have you ever heard of sowing and reaping? Anybody heard of sowing and reaping? That's a real thing. In every area of our life, sowing and reaping applies. How you sow, you will reap. If you sow honor, you will reap honor. If you sow dishonor, you're going to reap dishonor. That's a real thing. And now in the scripture, talking about honoring your mother and their father, there's no contingency. There's no contingency of like, honor your mom and your dad if they were a good mom and dad. It doesn't say that. It says honor your father and mother. It's we honor the seat that they sit in as our parents. And some of you may have just tuned me out thinking, well, I don't even know my mom and dad. Hey, but somebody probably sits in that seat in your life. Maybe it's a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or even spiritual parents, right? I have parents. I have two great parents that I love, but I also have Pastor Dave and Pastor Cherie who are spiritual parents to me. And so I honor them because they sit in that seat in my life. So maybe it's not your mother and your father, but there's somebody I bet who is in your life who sits in that seat of kind of parental, that seatness, you know? So we honor whoever sits in that seat. And I don't say that lightly. I know that sometimes there can be a lot of pain tied to our relationship with our parents. So I want you to know today, I'm not just lightly saying you should honor your father and mother. I'm not flippant about it. I know that there's pain. There can be a lot of pain there. But this principle still applies. There's a benefit to you when you can choose to honor and to just dish it out, just give out the honor, whether it's earned or not. Okay, this takes us to our next point, which is respect is earned, but honor is given. Respect is earned, but honor is given. So I'm telling you that as soon as you buy into this honor idea, as soon as you decide, yeah, I'm going to choose to honor this week, that the honor test is coming around. You just watch. You'll have opportunity after opportunity to just give honor when it hasn't been earned. So you just watch for it. You get ready for it. So just go ahead of time, decide, I'm just going to honor. I'm just going to give out honor. Even if it's not deserved, even if it's not earned, I'm going to give out honor. Here's a scripture that really tells us, how do we do this, okay? 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17 says this, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers in the praise of those who do right, for such is the will of God, that by doing right you silence the ignorance of foolish people on Instagram. Just kidding, it doesn't say that. Act as free people and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondservants of God. Okay, Peter, how do we do it? How do we do this, Peter? Okay, here, he says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. I'll read it again. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You're probably thinking, well, Peter probably had a good king. Peter probably had good leaders in his life, so it was easy to honor. But it's not true. The context of the scripture, the context of this time in history, Peter's leaders were terrible. The king was terrible. He had terrible religious leaders, yet he still says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So it's a perfect example of just give honor, give honor, give honor, even when it's not earned or deserved. And I think that when we give honor, even in those moments of when it's not earned and it's not deserved, we build our character. It's like we lift the spiritual weight of the honor and we build that character and that honor muscle, and then it becomes easier and easier to give out honor. Romans 5 verse 3 through 4 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us build endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So as we build that character, as we dish out the honor, it just gets easier and easier to give out that honor. And can I just say as a side note too, that true honor honors people when they're present and when they're not present. So if you're honoring towards someone when you're in their presence, yet when they leave, you gossip about them behind your back, you've got it wrong. True honor honors when they're present and when they're not present. And so ultimately, when we choose to honor others, we're choosing to honor God. And so, church, do you think that we can make this a trend? Can we bring back the culture of honor into our country? How about into our lives, into our families? It's got to start with us, right? If we want to change the world with honor, it's got to come back into our lives. Amen? Amen, church. Let's give it place in our lives. And to really drive this message home, would you put your hands together physically as well as in your hearts to really honor Pastor Tiffany as she comes out to drive this message home?
Hey, church family, how are we doing? Doing good, feeling good. Can we honor Pastor Leslie for that wisdom? That was so good. So good. Well, like Pastor Leslie said, my name is Pastor Tiffany. I get to serve as one of the youth pastors here, and I love what we're talking about this morning, about living a life of honor. And Pastor Leslie said something right there at the end, and I hope we all caught it. She said that it's possible to have honor sound come out of our mouth in people's presence, to have the sound of honor when we're in someone's presence, but to have dishonor in their absence. And isn't it so true that while honor can be on our lips, it can be far from us in our hearts? And you know what? I don't want us to kid ourselves to believe that God is just looking for people that look like they've got honor down. He's not just looking for words that sound like honor. He is looking for honor to be submitted in our hearts and then outpour into our lives. Jesus warns us of this very thing when he tells us in Matthew 15, verse 8, he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." See, the honor that God is looking for is not about a lip service, it's life service. We honor because we are honorable, because God has created us. He has called us. He's anointed us. He's given us his son so that we could have life. And then he created us, we are his. And because we are his, that means that we don't align our lives according to the world's way of doing things. We don't align our lives to the world's patterns. Instead, we align our lives with God's way of doing things. It's God's principles. And let me tell you, church, honor is God's way of doing things. So when the Word of God is encouraging us to live a life of honor, to have a spirit of honor lead our lives, it's because that is who God has created you to be. And when we choose to partner with the spirit of dishonor, it actually tears at the very being of who we are. And you know what dishonor will do? It will make your life small and actually will close your mind to the ideas and the inspiration that God wants to give you. And honor will unlock so much in the kingdom of heaven. And if we want to step into what God has called us to do, it first starts with being who God has called us to be. So let me show you the difference between honor and dishonor. See, honor is going to multiply things in your life. When we choose to live life with honor, things multiply. But dishonor, it's going to divide. Honor is going to release things into your life. It says go. Dishonor retains. It says I don't want to give honor away. I want to keep it for myself. Honor is going to open up doors for you. Dishonor is going to close doors in your life. Honor promotes, dishonor demotes. Honor starts, dishonor stops. Honor sees people as valuable and precious. Dishonor treats people as common and ordinary and has the sound of criticism coming out of its voice. Church family, let me challenge you a little bit. If you feel like your world has become a little bit small lately, and if you feel like you're just in a standstill in life, if you feel like no matter how much momentum you try and strive for, you just can't seem to get that momentum going. If you feel like no matter how much effort you put into things, you just cannot get out of a rut in this life, can I encourage us? Maybe it's because we need to check our honor level. Where's the honor level in our honor tank? When is the last time that we have stepped out to honor somebody around us? When's the last time we took a pause to honor God? Where we lifted up our voice and we opened up our heart and surrendered to him and gave him the place that he deserves. We gave him the weight and the value that he deserves. Because let me tell you, church, there's motivation and there is energy and there is inspiration and there is the very presence of God when we choose to give him the honor that he deserves. And if we're not intentional about this, you guys, the spirit of dishonor creeps in so easily. so easily. We've got to be intentional about the honor in our honor tank. You know, the spirit of dishonor, I find, starts to creep in when we become familiar. Familiar with God. Familiar with the things of God. Familiar with the community that God has placed us in. Familiar maybe with the things that God has given us that really we don't deserve, but they're a gift from Him. And when we become familiar, guess what happens? We tend to get a little bit lax in our honor. We get lax in our honor. You've heard the saying maybe that familiarity breeds contempt. But you know what? Honor breeds something else. And I want you to write this down. Honor is the currency for God's miracles. Honor is the currency for God's miracles. Again, honor will open up doors that we could never open on our own. We see this play out in an account in the New Testament book of the Bible. It's found in the book of Mark in the first six verses of chapter 6. And this story starts off with Jesus. He's headed to his hometown. And right before he went to his hometown, he just performed some amazing miracles. One of the miracles he performed, he healed a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Doctor after doctor after doctor couldn't heal her, but Jesus could. And he healed her in a moment, in an instant. And then right after that, he actually raised a girl from the dead. Wouldn't you say that's pretty amazing? So Jesus, he's on his way to his hometown. And I could just imagine the excitement Jesus felt of, man, I cannot wait to get together with my friends and with my family and the people that I grew up with and share the message of hope, share the message of the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? The people in his hometown heard about his teaching. And they heard about his miracles. And quite frankly, they were in awe and they were amazed, but that amazement did not lead them to a faith in Jesus. It actually led them to doubt, to questions. How could this carpenter boy that I went to school with, how could he be doing such things? How could this kid that I used to play with, how could he be saying such things? You know what happened? They were familiar, and their familiarity caused them to argue about who Jesus was, and they, in that moment, they completely missed what Jesus was there to do. Let's see what happened in Mark 6, verse 3 through 6. They tripped over what little they knew about him, Jesus, and they fell sprawling, and they never got any further. Jesus told them, a prophet has little honor in his hometown, among his relatives and on the streets he played in as a child. And Jesus, listen to this, was not able to do much of anything there. He laid hands on a few sick people and he healed them, but that's all. He couldn't get over their stubbornness. Church, did you catch that? Jesus was not able to do much of anything there. Now, let me tell you, this verse is not telling us that there is a limit to God's power, because we know God's power is limitless, right? Just a chapter ago, Jesus did the unthinkable. But this verse is showing us that we can put a lid on God's power operating through our lives when we choose to partner with the spirit of dishonor. So, church, I'm asking you, where do you feel a blockage of God's power in your life? Where is there a blockage of things where God wants to do miracles? God wants to fulfill prophecy. God wants to fulfill promises in our life. But for some reason, there's a blockage. Could it be that we have partnered with familiarity? Could it be that we've partnered with the spirit of dishonor for too long, and we are the ones putting a lid on what God wants to do in our lives? Church, far be it from me to let my stubbornness get in the way of what God wants to do in and through me. We are called to honor. It's who God has created you to be. It is our job to honor. And I believe that God wants to fulfill promises in this room right now. God wants to fulfill prophecies. God wants to fulfill dreams in this place. But are we blocking them from flowing? Is it us that's getting in the way? It's our job to honor. And I love so much about God is that he doesn't just tell us what to do. He gives us instruction on how to do it. So y'all ready to lean into what the scripture has to say? See, how do we do this thing called honor? Well, the Bible will tell us some categories of people that we are to place our honor on. And I want to show these to you through what scripture shows us. Where do we place our honor? Number one, we're supposed to show honor to God. It seems pretty self-explanatory, but we're to honor God. Do you know he's our creator? That he breathed and spoke everything into existence. We honor our God who is El Shaddai. The Bible says that he is more than enough. We honor God who spoke and created everything. We honor God who is our provider, God who is our sustainer, God who is our redeemer, God who is our savior. We honor him. We give him the place he deserves. But how do we honor him? Proverbs 3:9 tells us this way, honor the Lord with your wealth and honor him with the best part of everything that you produce. Church, everything that we have comes from God and everything that we are is from God. And so we honor him. We just went through it just a moment ago. We worshiped him. We honored him by bringing back the tithe. But honor to God goes way far beyond our wealth. Honor him with the best part of your day. Can we do that? Can we invite God in to every part of our day and give him the place he deserves every single day, not just one time a week? We can honor God by honoring our bodies, right? We know that our bodies are holy and set apart for his glory, so we honor it. So that means that there are going to be some things that I do not do. And there are going to be some places that I do not go. And there are going to be some things that I do not look at. And there will be some things that I do because I know that my body is holy and set apart for his glory. We honor God with everything that we have. We can also honor God with our worship, not just songs that we sing on a Sunday. He doesn't need the pat on the back. He's God. But he wants our worship to come out of the overflow of our heart. When we realize who God is, who is on the throne of your life, that gratefulness, that thankfulness just bubbles over and it comes out. That is our honor and our worship to our God. So we honor God. And number two, we honor our parents. We see this in Exodus 20, verse 12. Pastor Leslie told us about this earlier, but I think that God tells us, actually he commands us, not just suggests, to honor our parents for a reason. Because our parents are the first authorities in our life. And he knows how important it is for us to learn a life of honor. So he knows if we can learn it in the home first, then hopefully one day when we leave the home, we carry that culture of honor that we learned. Parents in the room, can I talk to us for a second? That's me. It is our job to instill into our kids a culture of honor. It's our job. Why? Because they need to learn it so desperately. The culture they're living in right now is not going to teach it to them. It's us. The parents, the people of God need to teach into our kids, instill into our kids a culture of honor. Because if we believe one day they go into a classroom and they're going to honor a teacher when they don't honor us at home, we're kidding ourselves. If they go into a workplace and we think that they're going to honor a boss someday when they don't even honor us at home, we are robbing them of their blessing. Pastor Leslie just taught us there is a reward to honor. I want my kids to have every reward and promise God has for them. So I'm going to be the one to teach it at the home. We honor our parents. And parents, we got to teach that. We got to teach the things of God to our kids. So we honor God. We honor our parents. Number three, we honor those in authority. Can we get real for a minute? There have been some leaders in our country that I have liked more than others. And there have been times when I have disagreed with either tone or policy, and sometimes both. But can I give you a key to freedom? It is possible to disagree with someone without dishonoring. It's possible to disagree with someone without dishonoring. And the Bible tells us, shows us in Romans 13, that we are to honor those in authority. And we do so through the posture of prayer. There's a guy in the Old Testament, David. He showed us this was possible. And his time, the leader of his nation was hunting him. Now, I don't know about you, but I have not had a leader try to hunt and kill me. So if David can do it and show honor to the king that was searching him down, I know that I can honor. And we do it through the posture of prayer. We pray for the leaders we voted for, and we pray for the leaders we don't vote for. We lead with honor through the posture of prayer. And lastly, we honor God, our parents, leaders, those in authority. Let me tell you this. We also need to honor our pastors and spiritual leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Now, I say this knowing that this really sounds self-serving, and I'm not meaning it to sound self-serving, but I believe the Bible's true. And if the Bible's gonna tell me that my pastors and my spiritual leaders are worthy of double honor, then I'm gonna see how can I show honor. You know how this looks? That means that when we speak about our pastors, when we have words about our pastors, they are words that encourage. They are words that build up not only them, but the house that you're called to. That means when we speak about our pastors, we speak words of strength. We speak words that build up. And when we're tempted to speak words otherwise, we don't go out and talk about it with other people. That's called gossip. We're not going to get caught up in that silliness. That's yesterday's business. That's not who we have been called to be. So if I have a concern, if I have a critique, I'm going to go to God first. I'm going to have him work it out in me. And if I still can't get past it with God, guess where I'm going? To my pastors. Why? It's the right thing to do. It's the honorable thing to do. And I have been called to be a child of God who honors, and I'm not missing out on my reward. I'm not missing out on my blessing, so I'm going to do things God's way. We build up. Can I also encourage you, church, the pastors and spiritual leaders right now that are teaching and imparting and building into your kids right now, they are worthy of double honor. Whatever you can do to show them the honor. Gift cards, thank you notes, a smile when you pick up your kid with your tag. Come on, they deserve double honor. Sometimes we don't understand why God tells us to do things, but I just follow him, trusting that he knows what's best for me. And you know what? I believe our house, our church, is gonna be strong when we choose to partner and do things God's way. Amen? Amen. Honor matters to God, and honoring others matters to him. Look what Romans chapter 12 says, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. Another translation even says, outdo one another in honor. So all of you guys that like competition, come on. This is the competition to be a part of. Let's outdo one another in honor. But if I were to say, hey, honor someone else above yourself, you'd be like, yeah, how do I do that? Let me show you. Three ways. Number one, prioritize others. Prioritize others. Whatever is first is honored. Philippians 2:4 says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Can we honor others by prioritizing their needs and not just trying to get our own way? Come on, how many marriages in this room want to be blessed? We want a blessed marriage. Come on, can we prioritize our spouse's needs even above our own? Can we outdo one another in honor? What would our workplace look like? Students, how would our schools look like? The classrooms look like? I bet you can change the temperature in your school just by the way that you decide to walk with honor. In a culture that criticizes and devalues others and tears others down and cancels each other, I believe the people of God can operate differently. I believe that God's people who walk by his ways can bring honor to the communities around us and change the tide that we feel, all by going God's way, by honoring others and bringing priority to the things that they prioritize. Number two, we can encourage others. We need to encourage others. See, honor has a language that builds up, a language that strengthens, a language that inspires. This is heaven's language. James chapter 3, verse 9 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. See, God, he sees value in all of his creation. So when you choose to criticize one of his daughters or sons, guess what? I think he takes it personal. Just like if I heard you talking about one of my kids out in the lobby, I'm going to take it personal. That's my creation. Come on, why are we looking at other people and critiquing them so quickly, devaluing them with our words, being harsh with our tones? We are looking at one of God's creation, and we're taking value off of that? No. That is God's creation. That is God's daughter. That's God's son. Ephesians 4, 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. I could stop there, say amen, and go. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Listen to this, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Church, what would it look like for us in this room right now to renew our commitment to this? To say, I'm not going to let talk come out of my mouth that critiques and tears down and berates other people. I'm going to let God's words of inspiration and hope and joy and healing come out of my mouth to build others up. Could you imagine the strength that would come out of this church? Could you imagine what Gilbert and Chandler and Mesa and Queen Creek and Santan Valley would look like because we as a church recommitted our commitment to this right here, that we're going to build others up and not tear each other down. I believe that's the church God has called us to. So we prioritize others. We encourage them. And lastly, we protect. We got to protect others. If we're going to honor people, we need to protect them. Everything that you have of value, you protect it. And if God values people, we got to protect each other. You might remember the story in the Old Testament of Noah. He built an ark, invited two of every animal on the ark. Why? Because there was a flood. Well, after the flood went down, Noah and his family got off the ark. Noah planted a vineyard. And the Bible tells us that one day, Noah got very drunk, got very naked. Noah was a good man, got caught up doing a bad thing. And one of Noah's sons saw his dad in his nakedness, and he just doubled over laughing. Oh my gosh, I can't believe Pops. Oh my gosh, I gotta go tell my brothers. So he runs to his other two brothers. He's like, bro, you've gotta see dad. He's drunk, he's naked, he looks crazy. And the other two brothers, they responded different. In fact, what they did is the Bible tells us they took a blanket and they draped it over their shoulders and they walked to where Noah was. And when they got to where he was, they actually walked in backwards as to not to look upon their father's shame, as to not expose their father in a moment of his weakness. And they draped the blanket over Noah. You know what this is? Protection. They were covering their father in a moment of weakness. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not talking about covering up sin, because I don't believe in covering up sin. But I do believe in covering each other's weakness. I do believe that when somebody in this room, and one of our brothers and sisters stumble and fall, we don't point and laugh and scoff and say, "Hey, everyone, come see." But we go right to where they are and we lift them up and they say, "Hey, what you did. I'm not hiding what you did, but you know what? I'm going to stand with you. You know what? I'm going to see you through this. You know what? What the devil started in your life, he will not finish. God will see you through. Come on. Can we protect each other? Can we cover each other and strengthen each other? This is how we honor God's way. It's not lip service. It's our life. It's life service. When we honor others above ourselves, we're actually showing honor to God. But come on, Tiff, people are crazy. You don't know the people at my work. They're so dishonorable. If you would hear the way that they speak, you don't know what that person did to me. I don't know if I can show them honor. Yeah. You might be right, but they are still his, and they still need the same grace that you and I need. So maybe we don't show them honor because they deserve it, but we choose to honor them because his name is on them, because he created them. I'll illustrate it this way. Babe Ruth, he was by far one of the greatest home run hitters of all time. And during his career and lifetime, he autographed hundreds of baseball bats, but he actually only autographed 7 home run bats. And this might be hard for you to believe, but I actually have one of those bats right here. I'm totally kidding. I just got it off of Amazon Prime. It's free shipping. That would have been really cool if it was. You know, one of these 7 bats went missing for decades. And the story is pretty amazing. The guy who had the missing home run bat, he was sick, really sick on his deathbed. And he had a nurse named Marcia that took care of him. And because of the way that Marcia honored him in his moment of weakness and sickness, he decided to give this home run bat to her. So Marcia took the bat and she carefully placed it right under her bed, not knowing what she had truly been given. And so for the next 18 years, this bat went missing. Nobody knew. It was just under the bed of Marcia's house. Well, later on in her life, she actually retired from nursing, and her dream was to open up a restaurant, and that takes a lot of money. And so she thought to herself, "Hey, I wonder if that bat is worth anything." So she got it out from under her bed and she tested it off. She took it to the nearest memorabilia shop, and the owner of the shop held the bat in his hand and looked at the signature and wondered to himself, could this be the missing Babe Ruth bat? And so he verified it, that it actually was. And in 2006, Marcia auctioned off that bat for $1.3 million. Now this one was $25 on Prime with free shipping. But if that name was real, the value would change. If this name was real, the value would change. Marcia, she took that money and she opened up her restaurant that she had dreamed about. And the majority of the money she actually gave away. She gave it to an organization that was close to Babe Ruth's heart. And the media, when she did this, was amazed. They were like, why would you do such a thing? That was rightfully yours. Why did you give it away? But listen to what Marcia said. I think we can learn a little something here. The bat was only valuable because Babe Ruth's name was on it. Since he made it valuable, the only reasonable thing that I could do was something that would honor his life. Church family, what makes you valuable? What makes you precious? It's the name that is above every other name. And that name's upon you, and his name is Jesus. What is it that makes your spouse and your kids and your boss and that waiter that you're gonna see right after this because you're hungry and that checkout lady at Fry's, what makes them valuable? It is the name that is upon them, the name that is above every other name. His name is Jesus. And because his name is upon you, you are not common and you are not ordinary. And because his name is upon them, they are not common and they are not ordinary. We need to see people with the value that God sees them with. So if you yourself are recognizing today that you've lived a little bit without honor, it's not just the right thing to do, church. It actually could be hurting us. And we might just ask God to forgive us. And we might just ask God to lead us and to help us to honor his people that he has already claimed, whose name he has put upon their lives. We might ask God to help us honor him more. Church, I don't know about you, but I needed this today. I needed God to challenge me to grow in my honor because I don't want to stop him from flowing in my life. And I don't want to stop him from doing what he wants to do through me for other people. So today, I declare over my life and yours a spirit of honor to be over our lives, a spirit of honor to lead into our families, a spirit of honor to flow into our homes and then outpour into our communities. I declare as a church that we would be a church that rises up and builds each other up, that we would be known as a church that when we speak, the voice of hope and healing would flow from our mouths. I declare that honor would not be just something we do, but would be who we are. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? God, I pray that you would guide us in this. God, I pray that you would lead us in this, that today we would realize it is your name that is stamped upon us. And because we are yours, the only reasonable thing we could do is to honor you by honoring others. Honor you by living our life for you. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you in this room are feeling that tug in your heart like I have felt all this week, to say, God, help me to be more honorable towards you and honorable towards others, I want to pray with us this morning. Would you just open up your hands and open up your hearts and receive what God wants to do in you today? Heavenly Father, because of your name, because of who you are, because it's your way, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to treat others as precious and as valuable, as worthy of encouragement, Lord. Help us to build each other up, God. Help us to start in our homes with our families and our children and our parents and our loved ones, and let it flow out into our communities, God. Father, I pray that you would help us to show honor, even if the other person isn't honorable. We want to be led by your spirit, God. So lead us into showing honor to others. Father, forgive us for every time that we have grieved you because we have lacked honor and we have taken value off of your people. Forgive us, God. God, I pray that your spirit would dwell within us because of your name, because of what you've done, that we would honor you. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I realize in this room that there are people who would say, honor has been on my lips, but it's been far from my heart. There may be even people in this room and watching online that you would say, honor's not even on my lips and it's far from my heart. I just want to ask you today, church, where is your heart towards God? What has God done for you? See, God, he loves you so incredibly much that while you were in the middle of dishonoring, while you were in the middle of disobeying, he gave his son Jesus to give his life for us. The Son of God, God in the flesh, Jesus, who was with no sin, he became sin on a cross for you, so that anybody who would call upon his name would be saved. And this is for you today. You're being drawn to the Spirit of God right now. Maybe you feel God pulling on your heart. I just want to let you know that's God's Spirit telling you, I love you, telling you, I want you, I created you. And all he wants you to do today is to know that when you call upon his name, he hears your prayers. He forgives you your sins, and he makes you brand new. And all it takes is saying yes. Yes to that relationship with Jesus, believing what he did, that he didn't just die on a cross, but he rose from the dead because of the power of God. And that same power, God wants to flow into your life. So if that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you repeat these words with me? And don't let it just be words you say on your lips, but let it be the conviction of your heart. And church family, can we say this together? Say, Heavenly Father, I give you my life. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Make me brand new. I surrender today. Fill me with your spirit so that I can serve you, follow you, and honor you. Help me to honor others as I honor you. Thank you for new life today. And today, I give you all of mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, church.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.